Way back in the early 20-teens, a city fella from Minnesota and a wannabe cowpuncher from small town Iowa came together to swap tall tales over the airwaves. They made lots of friends along the way, but even more enemies. By chance, they made acquaintance with a sodbuster from over the other side of the county, who felt obliged to butt in on their little show and give them the what fors from time to time. After nigh on a decade of pointless blathering, one thing led to another, and they were unceremoniously tossed out on their ear from their little radio show. Eventually, this ragtag group found their way back together and decided to start a little podcast we like to call Dutch by Association.
Lots of Sam's when I was out there. Then I ran out.
Oh. Story to follow.
And then you couldn't find any more Sam's?
No.
Did I text you guys that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did. I text you guys that there was no patriotism in Rapid City that I could find.
Weird.
No patriots.
All right. Let's get the show started, shall we? Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode
36.
Yeah, 36 of the Dutch by Association podcast. I'm your host, Wayne Barahona. And with me, as always, are my good friends and co-hosts, Aaron Alonz and Mitch Geese.
Today's episode of the DBA Pod is brought to you by Super High Tech. Was your pride not the only thing lost during the 4th of July weekend? Maybe one of the kids was a little too careless with their phone and you're not ready to upgrade? We can get you set up with sales and repair of all of the most popular cell phones around.
That's pretty good. I thought you'd be rusty after your hiatus.
Well, plus, I don't think that was a very grammatically structured, well-structured sentence, and you still made it work.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good work.
I really feel rested. I mean, I have not felt this good in quite some time.
Maybe you need to do it more often.
Yeah, maybe.
So did you, the entire time you were gone, did you have to wake up to an alarm or to...
Yeah, I did.
You did?
Yeah. And so you're 1 hour, it's mountain time.
Oh, sure.
So you're actually sleeping in a little bit. It's kind of nice. Getting up at 7 for only like 8.
Didn't think about that.
Yeah. And we had moderate starting times every day, so it was real easy to pop out of bed. Oh, the camper was nice, guys. It was nice. It performed well.
It's not for sale.
$750,000 on a camper, I would hope so.
That's terrible. No, it was. No, it's not. No, that's you're giving people the impression that. No, it's a very nice. This is what I wanted. I wanted a camper that could keep itself cool. This has 3 air conditioners on.
Perfect.
Wow.
Yes. I was not going to buy one with just 2 because my last camper that just had 1 couldn't handle it. How do I know 2 will? How do you know you buy one with 3?
Yep.
The meter at the campground, the electric meter, yep, was just whizzing around all
and
day,
I didn't
every day.
Care. Windows open, vent fans on, 3 ACs running. It has like 110 gallons of fresh water on board.
Goodness.
Mm-hmm. Wow, you could
last one had like 30
almost.
Some.
Wow.
Yeah, it actually has an onboard generator that you could boondock. But I've got someone who's going to purchase it for me, and then they'll take it out, and then I've got extra storage. There's an auxiliary gas tank in it, so you can fill up your side by side because that's what you're supposed to.
Why? That's why you have a toy hauler. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So I'm going to sell that. I'm not going to sell that. I'm going to take that out and use that for my lawnmower at home. I mean, this thing was just an incredible deal.
Wow!
It pulled out there like a cement block.
Yeah. How was the gas mileage?
Did you see 8?
Did you track it?
I did. Yeah. The overall trip, and this included me driving around a lot through the Black Hills with just the pickup, I averaged 7 exactly.
Oh, goodness.
So,
so you're doing roughly 5 on the freeway.
Pretty good for a semi.
That's what some people actually use to pull these bigger toy haulers. Mine is just 2 axles, and mine's the shortest one they make, and the lightest one that they make in this variety. But yeah, I had nearly $700 in gas with this trip.
Wow.
Yeah. Now you know why I had to sell a significant portion of ground beef.
Did you get it sold off, by the way?
I still have 200 some pounds left of the original 700. And then before I left quick, we brought another 600 home. So I still have 800 and some pounds to move out of the original 1300 to 1400.
And did you actually utilize the toy hauler portion of the camper.
Yeah, that's where the canoes go and all the bicycles go. My smoker went.
I hear canoes. Did you
kayaks?
Canoe? Did you kayak while you were out there?
I did not. No, but my kids all did, and everybody else took their turn in the kayaks. So, and then brother-in-law, sister-in-law brought the new board things,
like stand-up paddleboard.
Yes.
Did you do that?
Yeah. No.
I've done that exactly once in Jamaica, and about 100 yards from shore, and a wind blowing away from shore came up. Turns out I'm like a big sail on one of those damn things, and I had to get off and swim it in, or I would have ended up in the middle of the
Did you have Atlantic your life jacket Ocean. On at least?
Nope.
Oh,
no,
boy.
No, it's a third world country. They don't require any of that kind of stuff.
Big white man disappeared over horizon. Who cares?
And Mitch was far too much of a man to request one, so.
I was
Or fine. Too big I'm of a man to have one that fit. Oh,
those orange ones are universal.
Yeah, just like the one size fits all hats. They don't fit me.
They don't. I've come to find that, do you recall your fitted hat size?
The XL.
No, I like the number.
Oh, the number?
Yeah. Eight. So I'm probably an 8 as well, because I found like a 7 5/8 hat that I had, and oh, she was snug. She was snug.
Your head has grown?
Yes, it has, which I actually started to Google that, like,
what's wrong with me?
Right. It's like, well, I know that I have like several extra pounds that are around the midsection, and I know exactly what that's from.
But the head
is...
Did you go down the WebMD rabbit hole?
Oh, sure.
I've done that before.
Sure as heck I did. Yeah.
Well, I got a blister on my foot. Oh, yeah, that could be pancreatic cancer. Yep.
Oh, no. Diphtheria? What? I don't get it. But, yeah, so that was like a legit concern a couple weeks ago that I started... Yeah, I did do the WebMD thing. Like, well, what would cause enlarged head size? I'm like, okay, well, I'm like feeling around for fat.
Yeah,
like,
I think you can get a little fat. Growing,
you have here. To, right? Yeah, I mean,
I think so.
I think either that or I'm there's like about. More air in there than usual.
Mm-hmm. But we did a lot of hiking, and I'm dying, just like buckets. And we rode bike, and I'm dying.
Did you end up buying a new bike, by the way?
We did. Yep, got a new bike. Friday, my wife got one, and I got one.
Wow!
Happy birthday! You get two bikes. And then they reminded me at the when I was there, the elevation we were at. Yeah, the elevation was why I was sucking wind.
Right, right.
Well, that first day, though, it really does kind of catch you off guard. If you do anything strenuous at all and you're not used to it, it's like, oh, man, whew, hope I can land a chopper in here because I might need it.
That was a good 9 days out in the Black Hills. The schedule was completely laid out beforehand, arranged by a voting done by the seven different family groups that went there.
Seven family groups.
Yeah, so it was incredible. We had this big green space where all seven of us parked around it kind of in a circle, or it looked more like a C. And in the middle, the kids could all run through the grass. We pitched two big tents that we could... We hung lights in the one tent. Sun goes down at 8:15, 8:30, so you got light. All the picnic tables under there. There's no bugs.
Wow.
I mean, I'm a regular advertisement for Custer State Park. You've got to go. The downside of going to the Black Hills would be that anytime you want to do something, it's a 45 to an hour and 15 minute drive.
Sure.
Yeah, you can pick a spot that you're like, oh, that's right in the middle of everything. That's going to be handy. And it's still 45 minutes to everywhere.
And for some reason, Google, when I type in Hill City, 23 miles. Oh, wow. And then I hit directions and it's like, well, no, actually, it's 58. It's 23 if the crow flies it.
Right.
Like, Google, why are you continually giving me the bird distance?
I don't want the bird distance.
I want my vehicle distance and then be helpful with how many minutes that is. Around here, it's 1 mile, 1 minute. Right. Not there. Not at all. Not with all the elk and bison and deer standing in the way either.
Did you encounter a lot of that?
Yeah, we saw our share of bison and saw elk at night one time and quite a bit of deer.
And the bison is just native free roaming?
Within Custer Park.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they've got a fence kind of all around. Yeah, cattle guards you drive over.
Because I know that in South Dakota, like, there's a law that says that if you hit any livestock on the highway, it's your fault. Like the livestock has right of way on highways in South Dakota.
There were some roads I went through to get from Custer State Park to the Badlands. We took back roads, and predominantly that was gravel road. There were a lot of gravel roads where there were no fences. They had a cattle guard on the gravel road, and you just drove over the cattle guard, and yep, that whole couple mile. And you had no idea how far you were driving because there's not a road every mile.
Sure, yep.
Yeah, pretty wild. A lot of fun. Went into the Indian reservation. They had people posted when you came in to ask you if everybody's been feeling okay, because they're still super worried about COVID. Where are you going?
These are reservation people that mm-hmm. are like, yep. at their checkpoint?
Yep, they got checkpoints at all places coming in and out of the reservation there. We need to know your name, just your first.
Oh, Aaron.
Where are you going? The shortest direction to the Badlands. That's it? You're not stopping or doing anything? Nope. All right. See ya. If I told them that I wanted to
stop at your gas station and convenience store and
hug people.
Yeah.
Lots of high fives. It was a no turn around. But it was, yeah, beautiful, beautiful area. I went into this trip because of you, Mitch. If our listeners listened to the last episode, yes, because you poo-pooed everything we were going to go do.
No, I did not. It was
the Mitch Geese Hates America tour. You poo-pooed the 1800s train.
No, sure no. Yeah. I said I hope it goes better than it did with my kids because they complained about poo-poo. It.
Yeah, because
I enjoyed it and I was annoyed with my kids that they were bored.
Yeah, so he's all out of patriotic spirit.
They didn't rob our train. Yeah, we didn't get in on that. You had the train heist.
You didn't have my brother-in-law, Eric, laying out your vacation, which obviously we told him.
Well, I thought I was a good vacation planner. Now I feel really inadequate.
As you should.
You should.
We told him you should sell this spreadsheet that he built. Meal planning, exact groceries, who needs to be buying what, who's in charge of what meal, when. All the gas stops that are available, so that way you can say, okay, got 120 miles. I mean, my wife would look through this and say how many, you know, when's it, at what mile marker they would be at. I mean,
the analytical side of me, it just would be jonesing to see, like, to be part of this planning thing, to just, you know, wondering if he's got, like, his circle compass out, like, okay, well, here's the distance here, and...
Aaron, looks like you're going to need to stop every two exits for gas. The rest mm-hmm. of us have a diesel, and we'll make it the whole way there. We
can
make it
nearly to Sioux Falls. Yeah, yeah. But for me, it was the most relaxing vacation I've ever been on because I didn't have to think about anything. We knew what the meals were going to be.
Yeah,
we knew the stuff was here to make the meals.
You are your best person when you don't have to think.
Yes, I am.
That's the best version of you. So, speaking of me being
quote-unquote
un-American or anti-American, which is BS, tell me about the lighting ceremony.
So,
it sounds way different than what I saw.
All right, so before we get too far into this, I actually got a phone call Saturday, I believe, from a listener who was listening to the podcast, was so took so much umbrage with Mitch's anti-American sentiment.
That's not anti-American.
They needed to call me.
I am so pro-American that I was disappointed in the version that I saw.
You were disappointed in America.
Yeah, I was. I was like, we can do better than this.
So this person calls
this
me
is like a
and says
Chinese knockoff.
This person calls me and says, yeah, we take great umbrage with the anti-American sentiment that Mitch has been spouting here on this episode. As it turns out, we were there for the lighting ceremony several years ago, and it was one of the most patriotic things that we've ever seen in our lives. The phrase "a tear to the eye" was brought up during this by a very grown ass man. So
now we should be fair to Mitch. You figured out, as I did, and I made sure to tell all my campmates who were mad at Mitch, because I told them all that Mitch did not care for the lighting ceremony. We figured out what had happened. The amphitheater and the stage were under construction while you were there, or remodel, which they did a major remodel there. So they didn't have the lighting equipment for the stage. They didn't have the seats for everybody. They didn't have the sound system, which finally explains.
Yeah. So what I heard before I went was they have a ceremony, a short ceremony, and then they play some patriotic music, and then they light it up, and it'll be one of the most moving experiences of your life. So the short ceremony was about a 2-minute recorded speech about, you know, whatever, this is a symbol of America and blah, blah, blah. Extremely short, pre-recorded, nobody there live. And then, like I alluded to, they played God Bless America on an old phonograph, as near as I could tell.
With the bullhorn in front of it.
Yeah. And then that was it. And then they threw the lights on. So it matched the description. They had a brief ceremony and they played patriotic music and then they lit it up. But you can understand if you took the time to plan and drive an hour up there and then sit there for an hour waiting for all this to happen, and it was like a 3-minute deal, and you're just like, yep, what the hell was this?
Now
I thought this was the most moving thing you were ever going to see. And
you know, Mitch Geese, this is probably a little bit of poetic justice, a little bit of karma coming back to bite you in the ass for every girl that you were ever with in college.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Don't look at me.
A lot of build up for a very little amount of action.
Thank you. I wasn't wrong. It matched the description.
We finally figured it out. First, we were thinking, well, maybe he was there during COVID. So I text you. How long ago was it? 2 years. So then it wasn't a COVID related thing. Well, Mitch is still just a jerk and hates America. Well, then, so we watch it. This gal comes out. A park ranger comes out.
You met Teddy frickin' Roosevelt.
Yes, that was earlier in the day. Yes, that too, Mitch. We met Teddy Roosevelt as a 70-year-old man, which is a miracle because he died at 62. You don't understand how miraculous this was. But so earlier in the day, that he's like, hey, we're going to do a little thing over here in 5 minutes. So we quick went over there and sat down, and he gave this talk about the people on the Mount Rushmore and a little bit about him and his experience, and as if he was Roosevelt. And it was so good. So good. And you know what the most unique part of that whole thing was? I'm sitting right next to him as he's kind of walking back and forth through a 6-foot thing. He's right in front of me sometimes. All of a sudden, he discreetly takes a piece of bubble gum out of his mouth and tries to get it to stick to the bottom of the handrail right behind him.
Can you believe that?
I didn't know if that was something that President
Teddy Roosevelt
did.
Yeah, that might have been
true to character.
True to character. He couldn't get it to stick. It was frustrating. He couldn't get it to stick. So then he wound up rolling it up between his fingers and kind of letting it drop over the edge. But I just watching this. So there was about 2 minutes. I didn't hear a thing he said. I'm just staring at him fight with his bubble gum. But it was really good. And then his last little speech, I don't normally do this, but I'm gonna do it for you guys. And maybe he says that every time. But he gave this big speech that Wayne and all of the Sheldon City Council and city management and the mayor should have listened to, because it was incredible about how you're always going to meet resistance and the complainers, but you need to move. And it was just like, I mean, I'm feeling tinglies because this is incredible. I don't know if Teddy Roosevelt actually said this, or maybe it's just this dude's thing he's just ran with, but is, wow, this speech is, I mean, I was ready. I'm running for supervisor.
I'm going to do it.
Yep. And then 5 America seconds later, needs me. I said, no, I'm not running for supervisor.
So the takeaway is that those of us in power should probably be chewing some more Bazooka Joe. That's what gives us our gumption to keep going.
And I think, how was the rest of the ceremony?
Oh, so then that was just a thing during the morning. So we left. I don't remember what we did after that. But then we came back for the lighting ceremony. We get there. It's getting dark. This gal comes out and she says, all right, in 20 minutes, we're going to start the ceremony. I'm going to give a short little speech, and then we're going to watch a movie for 20 minutes. And then at 9:30, we'll turn the lights on, and then we'll invite all of the veterans, or a representative of a veteran, or a representative of a loved one that's been lost in battle or just died, can come down here, and we'll do the flag lowering thing. And so she says, we're going to play some patriotic music for the next 20 minutes.
And
some patriotic music played. And then do you know what played? Amazing Grace. And I'm thinking, huh. And then it went back to patriotic music again. Did that?
So I have to flip the record.
Planned? How that gets slid in there?
So is it just recorded music? There wasn't like a live band or anything like
that? No, not a live band. Just recorded orchestra music. Sure. And then she came out and she gave a speech that was all memorized for 10 minutes. A 10-minute speech that was completely memorized except for one long quote.
And this is the park ranger?
Mm-hmm. And which was just one quote that was attributed to one of the four presidents up there on the mountain.
Oh, hold on. Can you name the four presidents on the mountain?
Of course, anybody can. George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Teddy Roosevelt, Abraham Lincoln, in order from left to right.
Oh, boy. All right.
And then
I don't know if I would have gotten that right.
Even the little kids doing their junior badges. Did your little kids do the junior ranger badges?
No, that either.
No, they did the junior ranger badges. They all got sworn in. He feels just
so shafted over
here. I bet they charged me the same.
And so then she did this really good speech that I thought was a little over the top and something. But whatever, I get it. You got to try to make everybody that's sitting there not boo or crumple up the program and throw it at you. I get that. And then a movie that was filmed in like 1985 was played. It's all right. And then they invited what that film just went over the story of the four presidents. And then they invited down the veterans, representatives of veterans, a representative of someone who's passed away that was a veteran. And there's probably 150 people down there, and they lowered the flag. And the gal's like, this could be for some of these men and women up here the only time that they've been publicly recognized for their service and appreciated. So let's give them a hand. And then it just goes on for 5 minutes, and there's not a dry eye in the house. And all I can think about is Mitch is heartless.
Well, this explains why other people were so impressed with it. If I had seen that version, I would not have said that it was disappointing. Because, like you said, I am not anti-American. I am so pro-America that I was just mad and disappointed. Yes. Like,
we need to return.
That's all the better we can do.
We still have the receipt.
It's all the better we can do at Mount frickin' Rushmore. Come on.
Now, if you go, you have to go to the lighting ceremony, and it didn't take us very long to get out.
Every night. That they do that?
So I got a real kick out of it. They're like, so you park there and you get a little slip of paper when you come in, and then you need to find this kiosk, put the slip of paper in, and then you give them the $5, and then you get your parking pass for the day.
Okay.
And so that gets you out and back in. Okay, perfect. They tell us when we're there, okay, the gal there, she comes out, she's like, if you haven't paid, you know, if you want to get out of here fast... If you want to get out of here fast, if you want to leave in a timely and orderly manner, go to the kiosk now and pay your money. If you want to leave now or in a hurry after we're done and get back to wherever you are, find the kiosk now. She said it like 15 times. Well, we had already paid that morning. No big deal. Get back to the truck. Drive out. All the arms are open. You wouldn't have even had to pay.
Oh.
So I don't know if that's like this little thing the Rangers just try to get.
Get as many people to pay as possible.
To pay ahead of time. And because I can only imagine the nightmare of all of these people who are trying to get this little slip of paper that they got from the kiosk to work under the little. I mean, can you imagine the typical visitor to Mount Rushmore arguing with a little robot in front of the arm and the congestion that would make?
Earth's not taking my money.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm an American, damn it.
So I think they just open the arms and they just say, we got the money we got. Let's just let these people go home. And we just.
Well, they're thinking these people are kind of tall. They're probably Dutch. We better make sure they go to the kiosk first.
It was an amazing event. And
would you say that was your highlight?
If you look at it. If you look at it through the lens of being an American, yes, it was a highlight.
What other lens is there to look at life?
Through my family's time. Was it my family's highlight? Probably not. Was it for me personally being an American, my highlight? Yes.
And you're a history buff, so you were always more attracted to that and more patriotic than at least one person at this table. So it makes sense that would be the case.
I got to go back now.
As a son of an immigrant, I truly appreciate the I've always appreciated the liberties and justice that are bestowed upon us
for all
of us.
Amen.
I mean, my allegiance has always been pledged to the flag of these United States.
So. Yeah, it really was a good time. And coming to the memorial right away in the morning was really cool, too. They've got all kinds of things you can look at, little movies you can watch. It's super fascinating. They hoped to have the thing built in a matter of a handful of years, and for $500,000, it stretched to 14 years and was over $1 million. And then World War II happened.
Oh, this was like the 20s?
It started in the late 20s and stretched through the 30s, and then late 1941 with the bombing of Pearl Harbor, all of a sudden the resources, and if anybody was able to strap on a belt and swing off the nose of George Washington, he needed to be like in continental Europe or in the Pacific.
Sure. Nope. And any of the resources,
Mount Rushmore.
Any of the resources that could build a Mount Rushmore should be used to make bombs and planes.
And then they just kind of said, bullets. It's fine. It's good. Because if you look at the original thing that the guy had thought about doing, you were going to see like from the knee or the belt up of all of these men.
Oh,
imagine that. Imagine that. When you're standing there thinking you would see all of George Washington from the knees up. That would have been wild.
So could you see that part of Rushmore where they were roughing in Trump's face?
Yes. No. Thankfully not.
Now, actually, I do feel like I have to go back there because the only time I've been there was for a bachelor party, if that...
That makes a lot of sense.
Makes a lot of sense,
That was my top three things on my bachelor
party. It was not... The bachelor party was to Deadwood. That's where we stayed. So obviously when you're out there, you branch out. So we I saw it and I took a picture with it and I was there all of 15 minutes. So I didn't know that there was any of this other like areas that.
Well, now that you're in roughly the same physical position I'm in, you'll be drawn to the places that have air conditioning and shade.
Amen.
And they build a lot of different things to see in the air conditioning and shade. And for that, I was appreciative.
God bless America. And God bless you. We're back with segment two next.
Thankfully, that 8-mile bike ride was all downhill, except for like the last mile, which nearly killed me, even though I hadn't pedaled the first 7 miles.
Does that mean you... Oh, that's right. You got the electric one, right?
No. I couldn't afford the electric one. So you can buy super cheap electric ones that have like 1.5 stars out of 5.
Sure.
Yeah. Or you can get the good one that has, like, the Bosch drive system, blah, blah, blah. No, not for $5,000.
$5,000?
You can spend a lot of money on a good electric bike.
I met a guy once who took one of those on Ragbri. He said, you talk about a great way to piss off the serious cyclists is on when they're uphill and they're in, like, third gear. And he just went buzzing by him in his electric bike. He said, oh, man, you got a lot of... fist shaking at you when you do that.
So the Mickelson Trail is a former railroad bed, railroad line, and there's a section of it that's completely downhill except for a little bit of it. Probably didn't turn uphill the last mile. It was just flat. I just was sucking air so bad. It just like, man, this thing's like a 3% increase here. Well, no, actually it's flat. But people were coming the other way, and I just marveled at them. Like, we've gone downhill for 7 straight miles, and there's people that are going uphill. But I'd say at least 3 out of every 4 had electric bikes.
Oh, really?
Well, that helps.
Going uphill.
Yeah.
So how do you only ride one way?
You park. You park all the vehicles down at the end and have one vehicle bring you up to the top. Then you all ride down and you bring that one person back up to the top to get his vehicle.
Oh. I guess that, again, when you have an engineer with you, you could plot these things out.
We're hoping that no ladies are listening, because what happened was the one guy left and to go to the next point. The next guy stopped at what he thought that point was, because it's all gravel roads.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then the dust cleared. The first guy with the multi-passenger van that we all need to ride with back up to the top is gone. Oh, crap.
Ruh-roh.
So we all stop down there and we're like, now what do we do? So I get in my vehicle and say, well, I'm going to go try to find him. I'll go down this road here. So I went down that road for a while. Couldn't find him.
Now, truth be told, he just wanted to get his ass in air conditioning as quickly as possible.
And
I'll go look.
What you said was literal. First thing you do, start truck. Second, turn on seat vents. And then I come back, can't find him. So anyways, this dude who looked just like Santa Claus coming down the trail, we stopped him, knew he'd be of good cheer, and asked him, hey, if you see two guys in a white passenger van at the next checkpoint, let them know we're waiting up here for them. And he said, okay. And, and away he went down on his bike.
Now you be a good boy.
Okay. And then we're like, oh, man. So then finally up the trail comes some maintenance guys. This is like 20 minutes later, okay? All the women and children are waiting a couple miles up with nothing to do, okay?
And children to entertain.
And children to entertain. And the guys are like, oh, yeah, no, this isn't a stopping point on the bike trail. The stopping point on the bike trail is like six more miles weaving through the mountain or through the hills that way. You got to go up over that hill and go a ways, yeah. Like, oh, crap. So we all get in our vehicles and we take off, and oh, sure enough, there's Merle in the big passenger van waving us all in, and he's like, what the nuts is wrong with you guys? And we're like, oh, yeah, sorry, Merle. We weren't very good at playing follow the leader because there's no cell phone reception out there.
Right.
You can't call anybody. You can't text.
True pioneer experience.
It sucked. How did these people live 10 years ago all the way till the beginning of time? It's... But we found it, and then on the way back, we're like, all right, we're not going to tell the women that we could not find our way out of a box. Okay? So we get back, we throw the doors open, and the women were like, what took so long? You know, this is a long ways. You know, this is a long way down there.
You guys aren't used to navigating in the mountains. It's tougher than it looks.
Right. Whoops. So anyways, nobody spilled the beans, and now I have on the podcast, so if any of them listen, they'll say, oh, I knew it.
Stuff like that's why so many people died on the Oregon Trail. No, I know where we're going. Right. It's fine.
We lost the leader once the dust settled. Oh.
I got plenty of bullets, and I'm not a marksman. We'll be fine.
Sooner or later, dysentery.
Yep.
Happens I hope to the not best in of a us. Camper.
No. Oh, that's Mitch. Yeah. Got to celebrate the birthday of America in his summer home.
I don't have a summer
his
home.
Lake cottage. You do too. You're gonna own it. Your name's on it.
My spare room at my parents' house.
What was funny is
the best way to celebrate the 4th of July.
They were shooting off fireworks, and Mitch is wearing this T-shirt, which is like a bald eagle with a mullet.
And an American flag bandana
on. So it was awesome.
I wear that every 4th. Yeah.
But what was funny was like they were lighting off fireworks, and like Mitch would go light something off, and then he'd prance. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
I don't prance.
Well, what was funny is your wife is like recording this on Snapchat and like snapping it as part of her Snap story. And then in the background, you hear your dad.
Hey, make sure you send that to Wayne.
Yes! And she's like, I'm actually snapping him right now. I'm like, oh, good. I get to see Mitch look like a complete wuss.
I was trying to demonstrate good fireworks safety for my kids, okay?
Well, that's important. That's important.
I just felt good that Bob was...
knew exactly how this... fun of me.
Yeah.
Your dad won't even. It. Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't even cut me any slack.
So what'd you do on the 4th, Wayne?
Jack, nothing. So on the 4th itself, the 4th itself was just stupid. Just stupid. So
America.
No, yeah. I misspent America's birthday is what I did. So we, Friday, I participated with EMA, and we helped with the vehicle parking and stuff like that for the Village Fireworks Celebration, which was a great time, great food.
Done at Rise Fest grounds this year.
Yep.
And different.
It was different. You missed the activities for the kids, but great vantage points for fireworks nonetheless. So then Saturday ended up going out golfing, and you know when you go out golfing and it's 100 degrees...
Who'd you golf with?
My brother-in-law's brother and a couple other people. They were camping at Sheldon, so that was pretty easy enough. And then, you know, I get home at like 6 and I'm like sunburnt and I'm just like... Ugh.
Pretty rare that you're the best golfer in the bunch, isn't it?
Second best. Oh. It was second best. But
still.
And then so Sunday, I knew that we were going to have our big like neighborhood celebration on Monday evening because everybody else has their lake homes and fancy things to do and, you know, friends and loved ones and do then things the, with.
And then there's Wayne. And
just me sitting there, me, stupid dog.
He's like the kid in the neighborhood watching all the other kids play together, and he's peeking through the blinds.
Somebody really cool used to live there before you moved in.
But we were going to have, so that it was a potluck. And, you know, as a man, I like smoking meat. So I thought to myself, you know, I want to do something different. And I was reading online. I'm like, okay, I want to do pork belly burnt ends. And if you're not familiar with the burnt ends concept, is you take a slowly cooked piece of meat like a brisket or a pork loin or a pork belly or something like that. And then you cook it. And then you dice it, and then you cook it again in like a kind of a sauce of barbecue and sugar, and it kind of makes it kind of a candied type feel, very sweet and savory. So good. And it's awesome. So I thought, all right, this is what I'm gonna do. Now it's Sunday, so I said, all right, I'm gonna go. I'll probably have to go to a city to get this because it's Sunday, and I knew Hy-Vee didn't have it. Fairway's closed. All right. Which is fine because I was going to visit an out-of-town liquor store just to see what they have because that's part of the touristy thing that I do to find random craft beers, whatever. So I end up in an area of South Sioux City that I had never been in before.
And across the river.
And, turned out I accidentally bought pig's feet. But,
I was seriously, I went to 5 different grocery stores trying to find pork belly. And it's not like a T-bone, but it's not like that obscure of a cut. So what I found was the final place that I stopped was this Hy-Vee on Hamilton Boulevard. And they had, it was a 12-ounce package. It was a square, and it was called Hormel Salt Pork. But if you looked at it, you could tell it had like the look of bacon to it. But it was like a 2-inch by 2-inch square of pork. So then I looked
like the spam of bacon.
No, it was like the pork belly, but it was, you know, mostly used like in like when you make baked beans and you have like the chunks of bacon and stuff like that in there. That's kind of what it's used for, and it's used for stocks and that sort of thing. But I'm like, all right, if I can take the meaty pieces of this, you know, I found the packages that had the good meat, you know, that you could see it. It would work out because it was pork belly. It was just, but it was salted. So then I had to like take it and put it in a cold water bath and change the water out every couple hours to try and desalinate it, whatever. Ended up paying like $5 for each 12-ounce package. And you can kind of see where I'm going with this. I finally text my wife and I'm like, all right. I told you I was going to go to like Sioux Center or something. Yeah, I'm in like random place in South Sioux right now, and I'm hoping that I can get back all right. Leary neighborhood, but I think I got what I need.
Don't worry, I'm packing.
Oh, God.
Then realize Hamilton Boulevard, if you take it north all the way, turns into a county road. Anyway, get back, and my wife's like, well, you know, did you need to start this today? I'm like, no, it probably only takes a couple hours. She's like, why didn't you just go to Fairway tomorrow? Shit.
Oh yeah.
So, of course, Monday comes, and I had to go to Fairway to pick up, like, we were making a fruit pizza to bring to this potluck, and I go over there, and sure as shit, there's, like, 5 pork bellies sitting there for, like, $3.99 a pound. Just forget it. I hate life right now. Just... All's well that ends well turned out tasting great.
Well, yeah, and at least you got to spend the day, as the founding fathers intended, driving around South Sioux City trying to buy discount
meat from Indians. Native Americans.
Oh, that's good. That sounds a lot different than my Sunday, but no, that's fine.
No, it was not a preferred way to spend the 4th of July holiday. But we did have a lot of fun as a neighborhood, shooting off fireworks and stuff on the 5th. And it was a really good time. 5 couples and their kids. And then I invited the Geeses, and then they said, yeah, we're coming. And then they just didn't show up, which was pretty classy.
There was no confirmation. I said, yeah, we'll see.
Bull.
That is what I said.
That's as good as a no.
And
no, you said, okay, so what are the details? You asked for details?
And then
details?
I never said any. Well, yeah. All he said was, hey, sometime Sunday we're getting together in our neighborhood. Well, that's specific. So then I asked, what are the details?
No, I said Monday evening we're getting together to shoot off fireworks. So that probably doesn't mean show up at noon, dumbass. It means that we're having a
wow, that's kind of harsh. I didn't know. I like to have a time. But as it turned out, my kids were super tired.
Oh, yeah, it's the kids. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the kids
I wanted to get to
well,
bed early,
because I nailed it, too. Because he's like, well, I don't think we're going to make it. And I said, what? You had too much fun this weekend?
Well, yeah, but, you know, kids, they have been going to bed at midnight every night. And I said, well, we're done shooting out fireworks at 10, so I guess I don't know what your excuse is for that. And, you know, kids, dot, dot, dot.
So Sunday night, we had a Dutch oven cook-off, complete ooh, with judges.
Boy.
Now, yes, I know this is going to play right into what you're thinking. It really
spaghetti
is.
Spaghetti-O hot dish. Come on, Dutch oven spaghetti-O hot dish.
No. We had, looked in the fridge. What do we have lots of extra of? We have lots of extra eggs. We have lots of extra milk. We have lots of extra ham and bacon. A lot of extra bread.
Oh, yeah.
We made an egg bake.
Egg bake.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the judges chose ours as the winner. I had a brother-in-law and sister-in-law that made a tater tot casserole. Because why wouldn't you do that right. as a Dutch?
Because again, you have all the ingredients.
Yes. A Dutch person with a Dutch oven is gonna
And the other brother-in-law and sister-in-law made scalloped potatoes and ham in their Dutch oven. Also, very lot of complex flavors in these three things. Lots of ingredients.
Salt and pepper.
Yep.
Featured in most dishes.
And then this will be tough to pick out the winner of these four. It really will. Then the other ones had a boneless, skinless chicken thigh done in a marinade of whiskey and peaches placed over the top of organic mashed potatoes with basil.
Are you kidding me?
No. There was even more to it than that. I'm just remembering a couple of the things.
So
that sounds a little too flavorful for this judging panel, though.
You've got organic mashed potatoes or... tater tot casserole
or egg bake.
Some egg bake. You know what? I didn't burn it. That's all I wanted.
So what did the children think of skinless chicken thighs?
Oh, they loved it.
Really? They actually ate it? They weren't afraid of it?
It had a
like,
really good... Oh. Well, there's peaches and just the sauce that was with it was really, really good.
Sounds amazing.
They boiled the potatoes and they mashed them. I mean, this wasn't out of a box. This was a legitimate deal. So this was...
Tell me about the whiskey.
I don't know. They just... But then,
like, of course, was it cooking only whiskey?
Two glugs, one swig. Two glugs, one swig.
I have no idea. You'd have to ask my brother-in-law how he handled that. But he was still standing upright, you know, well into cooking. So I don't think there was too much swigging going on. But yeah, it just was a little bit funny because it's like, are we seriously going to judge this? Because somebody here has
sounds like
put
he's
in
the one that
made
effort.
Up
the contest.
It is. He did decide on
he sprung it on you last minute too.
No. This was months in the making. This was on the schedule.
Hey guys, I just happen to have all this stuff. Just make sure for organic chicken thighs.
You prepare for the Dutch oven cook-off.
And all I wanted, it was the first time I've ever cooked anything in a Dutch oven and been like kind of in charge. Thankfully, my brother-in-law, who's really experienced with cooking over a fire, he lifted up the lid when I wasn't looking, decided that it was basically never going to get done. It was just always going to be soup. Mm-hmm. And he added a bunch more heat to it. And then I lifted up the thing a little bit later, like 50 minutes. Holy crap, it doubled in size. And he says, yeah, it's supposed to do that. I was like, oh, okay, all right. I've never done anything in Dutch oven, and I have never made egg bake. So thanks for taking care of me. But one of the judges was kind enough to select it. And the judges were the three college-age kids that led the church service in the chapel in Custer State Park. So they had really no idea who we were.
Oh, so these were just random.
These were very random three guys. They'd seen us, all 27 of us, riding up on bikes to the chapel that Sunday morning. The chapel holds 40, so we filled it up.
Wow.
And all of us
were you guys the only ones there?
There was like six other people there.
So normally these kids like preach to six people and
six, eight, ten maybe. So they were just
thrilled when they saw Sioux County plates rolling in.
They had no idea what that means. They have no idea what that means. But all of us men love to sing. So we filled that little chapel that was fun. And we told him, yeah, we'll be back in 7 days because we're staying here forever. And so that the second time we came, then we asked, hey, would you come on over and be our judges, spend some time, food? They were like, oh, we'd love that. So that was fun. One kid from up in Minnesota, one from Idaho, and one from North Carolina.
And what were they doing there specifically?
So they sign up for this program that dispatches college kids who are interested in being involved in nature and in leading worship services in national parks. Or
that's
state
like,
parks.
Like a specific vocation?
It's just what they do during their summers. It's like some college kids, I'm going to go be a counselor at camp such and such. No,
sure.
These kids say, well, I'm going to sign up, and they have no idea which state park they're going to be sent to. And then they say, well, we've got Custer State Park, and we've got a job that kind of fits with what you like as an assistant manager of the Coolidge General Store in Custer State Park. I'll take it. And then up they come. They have no idea who they're going to be working with. And your chapel's over here. Have fun. You know, do something Christian. That's the beginning and the end of our requirements for you. But they had their own little song booklet and so forth. And the one kid played guitar, so it felt a little bit collegey.
Apparently,
there was no pipe organ out here. Yeah, there was no organ. No, it was a really, really good time.
Where's the old book?
I've thumbed through 10 pages and have yet to come across the word thou.
No smiting going on here?
It was a good time having them over in the Dutch oven contest. And none of us burned our food. It was all really good.
Yeah.
And there was enough judges to really give a claim to most everybody. Like they like got together. Hey, you have to pick one person's dish. You'll pick another person's dish because, you know,
we want to be
we
nice.
Love everyone.
Yes.
So who's the poor person who was left out? Because there were four dishes,
right? I think the scalloped potatoes and ham maybe got left out.
Oh. Yeah, because, you know, they didn't allow.
It was kids' choice. Kids' choice.
So when you guys did Dutch oven, did you do charcoal at all or was it all like?
The brother-in-law who went all in and made this incredible dish, he used charcoal because we had two fires going for embers, but that wasn't even going to be enough for all the Dutch ovens going on. And
so, yeah, so, I know my father-in-law, like when he would do the Dutch oven, like he'd do, you know, he'd have the fire underneath, but then he'd have lit coals on top. So mm-hmm. put the coals on top of the lid and then have another Dutch oven above.
Oh, wow.
So like when we would do the egg bake, he'd have that. And then above the, like on the lid of the one, you'd have the lit charcoal, and then on the Dutch oven above it, you'd have biscuits, and the biscuits would bake, so then you could do that.
It's really interesting. I own a lot of Dutch oven cast iron cookware, and it's good to have finally used one piece once.
I literally still have a Dutch oven, one of the Dutch ovens in my truck that's been there since we moved. So if we ever get stranded somewhere and need unseasoned
Dutch
oven
cookware. Well, it's
always good
to keep a 20-pound projectile in the backseat of your pickup, right behind your head.
Directly underneath my daughter, where she sits, by the way, just to clarify that.
So I got to ask, though, what was better, Dutch oven tater tot casserole or well-done steaks from the steak fry?
You deep fried steaks, you.
Yes, deep fried steaks.
Well, on a pitchfork. Deep fried steaks is good.
On a pitchfork.
But not well done.
They weren't real. I mean,
you said they were well done.
Yeah, the gals wanted well done, and it was a little bit, because it's a little bit of guesswork. You're like, all right, we just put these three slabs of meat on the end of a pitchfork, and we think the oil's around 350, but we've got no idea how long it's going to need to be in there.
Just hold them in until they start smoking, and that'll be about right.
And so I had purchased some South Dakota's finest beef from Walmart, and that's what I had.
I love this. Dude's got, talking about he's got 800 pounds
I'm
of beef at home.
Well, he only knows how to cook them in a crock pot. He doesn't know how to fry them.
On the smoker. Yeah, so, but that stuff, it like sucked up and got really fat, those center cut sirloins that I had for the kids.
So
and they did not want to get done hardly at all. First time was probably rare. We dunked them again, and then they were medium rare.
So dunked them again. What was it? Was just a Dutch oven filled with oil? Is that?
No, it was a turkey fryer.
You guys brought a turkey fryer?
Oh, yeah.
Good grief, man.
And then it's like, okay, tomorrow morning, do we make donuts in this oil that kind of tastes like beef and will have little chunks of beef?
Or I would have.
It was really good. But it's like one big old chunk of Chislic. One big chunk.
Sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm. It's really good. You should try it. It was fun to do.
I'm never going to deep fry a steak.
No?
No. That Why sounds not? Absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, no. That's like a thing. People do that.
Thank you,
doesn't
Mitch.
Isn't that the governor that does that every year? The governor's steak fry and they put him on the pork chop?
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, someone had that idea for something different because at times we think trying something different would be fun. And then as it gets closer to it, we all get a little queasy in the stomach.
I don't know.
Start sweating, getting sweaty palms.
Oh. Well, if this first batch doesn't work out, we got a microwave.
But I tell you what, I had Saturday night, I made a sirloin. One sirloin. It comes from Babcock.
Oh, the giant one?
Yeah, it was
like a roast.
It was darn near 2 pounds. Yeah. And so I thought, well, that'll be enough for me and my daughter. And it was like, me and my daughter did not finish half of one.
And those particular cut are some of the best sirloins I've ever had.
Oh,
I'm usually not a sirloin
and
guy.
And I'm not either. So that's why I brought it up, because I know Aaron is captain sirloin.
I'm a big sirloin.
Like, that's the only steak cut he'll eat. So I'm like...
What's the cheapest other than like minute steaks?
Well, honestly, that's what drew me in the first time that I had it from Babcock. I was like, well, $7 and it's like a pound and a half. Okay, I'll try it. Like, I'm not going to be out much. And that, you know, you take that first bite and it's like, holy crap. This beats anything that I've ever had out of a grocery store.
When we were younger, the guys would all come to my house in Hospers because I had a house and they were all still at Dort. We'd come to our house. We drink some Miller Lights because that was our choice of drink that day. Eat like a bag of Wavy Lays, and we would have all purchased a big steak from Hy-Vee or Fairway in town.
And were they always sirloin?
No. Everybody would get whatever. But we would go to Hy-Vee to start the night off or Fairway, and we would all choose the biggest steak we could find in the meat counter. And the last guy to order one time ordered a huge steak, and we all kind of like laughed a little bit, and then we all walked off, and he took forever to come out to the car. And when he finally comes out, he's like, guys, I just got my butt chewed by this little old lady telling me I need to be more humble in my steak selection. She chewed him out because we were all just laughing and choosing the biggest pieces of meat they had in the counter. This little old lady, like, she was offended by how we were acting.
Like, some people can't afford steak and you're just haphazardly.
You need to be more humble in your steak selection. When you're talking about purchasing meat to eat, you need to be more humble. And she just let him have it.
So she meat shamed him into getting a smaller cut?
No, he still bought it. I mean, the dude was wrapping it up and she's just chewing him out. And he's like, oh, hurry, I'm going to wrap that stupid thing so I can get out of here. Oh, we still laugh about that when we get together.
Oh, now, meat Peter, shaming.
Hope you were humble with that steak selection.
Oh, back to segment three after this. Well, so you went on a roller coaster
with my son.
Really?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
And you guys just shot buffalo while on a suspended roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I feel like I don't even know you anymore, Aaron. These are so many new things.
Seems
that
way
you're
too
just
much, like too much fun for you.
Yes.
Yeah, and this is really going to get you guys. We did it on Sunday afternoon. Don't spit it out.
Oh.
almost. I
knew that would be the cherry on top.
If it would have been a half second later.
Yeah, but
I interrupted
if I
my normal
anything,
Sunday
living in Rock Valley, it doesn't count once you cross into South Dakota.
It's not it's like, I could take a nap, or I could get suspended from a roller coaster and shoot lasers at a bunch of fake buffalo. I'll go do that. Yeah, that was...
Well, they were going to be open anyway. I mean,
that's right. I wasn't making anybody work. I mean, they were there on their own. What?
So how much did you nap?
Not as much as I thought I would.
Yeah?
I brought 3 books and a bunch of periodicals that I've received over the last 6 months and haven't touched.
Yep. and grass-fed monthly. Anything.
And yes. No, it's called the Stockman Grass Farmer. It's more than just beef. And yeah, I didn't open any of them. I only took 2 naps in 9 days.
Holy cow. I took more naps than that.
If you don't count, you know, the couple miles between wall and the exit to pier. But otherwise, there was no naps.
Wow. Honey, grab the wheel. I'm going to recline for a minute. The cruise is set.
Yeah. I just got my alignment done. We should be all right.
Yeah. Today was a big day in our house. Asa started basketball camp at Western. Because, you know, we need to work to make him better. Now, at the Western basketball camp, all the way back to the early 1990s when I went as a young man, boy, there would have been probably 40 or 50 kids in your class that went. It was huge, a lot of people. The coveted award was the Hustle Award. At the end of every day, they would pick the person who hustled the most.
Did you try hard?
No, trying is different than hustle.
Is it?
There was one time I got super lucky and happened to be standing in the way of a guy's pass like 7 times that one day. And I got the Hustle Award as a kid. Yeah, just pure. I mean, I reflected on that. Like, wow, that was certainly nothing to do with me. I just happened to be standing at the right place at the right time. Guess what? Ace's first day comes home with the Hustle Award. He calls me. He says, I got the Hustle Award today. I nearly cried.
That's a future state champ right there.
Nearly cried.
That's a future sand-born Christian ninth grader that looks at his other counterparts and goes, oh, you guys really know how to play, huh? Oh.
I'm starting to really reconsider that maybe my son has a little more athleticism and talent than the average Sanborn basketball player. Now, Sanborn has a couple of incredible basketball players in its heritage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not many.
And HMS is still angry about that.
Yep. Yeah, that one guy, we could have won the state championship. And it's, I think, you know, it might be time. It's been the early, mid-2000s when Sanborn had Brandon Oldenkamp, who was,
OBO. I think,
just rode the bench for the most part and then came in and shone big and had huge heart. And, you know, now you start to wonder, maybe I need to be getting him into some AAU.
This is how it starts.
We might have to do some, because my son is going to make me, my son is going to go to college for free.
I don't think Dort gives full scholarships, so.
Who said anything about Dort?
he's going to Western.
Yeah, but he's going to go to Iowa State or University of Iowa and play. Oh, yeah. But you want to else I can promise you about today? My son had the cheapest pair of shoes on out of any of the kids there. I can promise and guarantee you that. And my son got the Hustle Award with the cheapest pair of shoes on the court. That right there is what finally brought the tear down my cheek.
Yeah, he won't be able to hustle tomorrow with blisters all over his feet. But
I sent him out the door 2 pairs of socks, no blisters. I think he's fine because he went right back outside this afternoon and started playing hoops on the driveway.
Wow. Can you imagine if your son was the actual star player? It doesn't seem possible. No offense to Asa.
No, it's not that he was the star player. It's that he exhibited hustle when the coach was looking. That right out of the gate. Would have I ever thought that my son would get the Hustle Award? Because I know how hard it is to get. I got it once out of the 4 years I went, and it was purely by accident.
Have you watched The Last Dance yet?
No.
Oh, you need to. Watch it with Asa.
And I took that personally.
Okay. Yeah.
I actually have seen that. That's been made into a meme about a million times.
But what we've talked about, and it's great to see this entire 180 that you've made and talking about parents living vicariously through their children. And now you're like, I won that award. But when I won that award, I wasn't as good as he is now. My shoes were even cheaper than the shoes
they
that
were.
He
they
has.
Left black marks all the way up and down the court. That was very dramatic.
Hey, so, the very best to offer at Payless.
So he is literally Palmyra. He's a literally oh. about two camps away from. Come on, ref. Come on, ref.
Sorry, those plates are taken.
Boy, if I ever get to be the guy that hollers at the refs and the umps, please come put a bag over my head, haul me out, beat the ever-living crap out of me, and then let me go. I won't know who did it.
Done.
But it needs to happen.
Yeah, we'll have a full-fledged blanket party, and we'll make sure that we can probably knock some sense into you, hopefully.
Because I'm telling you now, if I get that way, let me have it.
But you look at how many of these people that live vicariously through their children. A lot of these people had children young. We had a conversation off air about, Asa taking the normal path. You go to Dorton, you marry someone from a nice Canadian
no
girl.
No Canadians, no Washingtonians, no Michigans.
Michiganders.
Yeah, I crossed a lot of states. And
Californians.
No Californians.
Well, there's Washington. But
What if she's a Pella Dutch? Still, no?
I have 50-50 on that. I know a lot of good Pella gals. I won't like it.
But it begged the question. Like one of the things that I offered up was, okay, well, the part of the Dutch plan that I have... That I kind of took umbrage with was like getting married as soon as you graduate college. Like you get married.
Well, or before.
Or before, yeah.
If we live together, then all of a sudden it's cheaper.
Yeah, that's right, because I have a brother and sister-in-law that got married whilst in Dort. So I know exactly what you're talking about. But I don't, and the conversation I made off the podcast that I'll bring onto the podcast was I think that in most cases, people would be better served waiting to have kids until they were 25. Now, I know I said married at 25 before, but I also
changed it up. You softened it to offend a few less people.
No, I just realized that how the oopsie daisies happen, but and non-traditional.
You mean when getting married?
No. Well, the only time
only
it's
in Vegas.
The only
maybe,
time yeah. it's an oops is if there's a shotgun in front of your face after. But what I'm saying is that do you feel that there is a obviously there's going to be a benefit for having more years under your belt before you take that next step, but it seems like in the past, and I look at Aaron when I say that,
old. A lot of years here.
Well, no, but you come from a background that is more rooted in tradition. And
that's fair.
The tradition will state, okay, we never shut the air conditioner off. I was wondering why it was so loud. But
well, should I grab it a second to clean up the last minute?
We'll let her fly.
We'll let her see, roll. If you listen to it and then it's not so bad, we'll leave the AC on for the whole show next time.
Yeah, that'll be much better.
You know what? We've earned it. So we'll just roll with it. But you being the old-timey Dutch, it was the woman caretaker and nurturer, hurry up and have the gaggle of kids that, you'll have four kids before you're 26.
Well, you can't have 14 if you don't start fast.
Right. Same logic as can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning. You got to start having kids.
True.
I started having kids relatively young. I got married at 23. Most of my friends in college.
How old were you when Wyatt was born?
27.
I don't think that's terribly young.
It is compared to anybody that lives in a city.
Do you know how many people get pregnant 18, 19, 20?
I'm talking about
intentionally. Planned pregnancy. Well, I'm just saying that if you look at the numbers, it's. I would be interested to see how many of the pregnancies are actually planned.
Well, within marriage, they're not always planned. Well, no, I don't know if you know that.
I understand that. I fully understand that, but I
don't want to have the talk with you on air about how all of this works, but
yeah, I don't know. I didn't mean to get like a deep philosophical argument about child rearing, but I just always found that. When you are looking at, like for me, and Aaron mentioned this off air about him as well, I didn't have my first kid until, or my only child, until I was 32, 31, something like that. And I guarantee you, I needed every one of those years to mature, because my motor was on the low end, so like I was really slow to the uptake as far as, you know, adulting and
responsibility.
Yeah.
Well, I believe that to be true about you.
thank you.
It takes all kinds.
Everything you said is, you know, very true.
He tries hard.
Yeah, you know, I think some people might be able to come out of the gate and have kids right away, and it's great and perfect. But, you know, for me and my wife, I was 28 with our first. And just, yeah, would have turned 29 within a couple months of her first. And, yeah, you know, I don't know. It's difficult. What do you want to say? Well, my priority is to be sure my house is in order before I have kids. Or do you say...
Having kids makes you get your house in order.
You know, I really... If I could be 44 and then all of my kids are out of the house, that'd be really nice, because then my wife and I can really spend a lot of years just us two, because I hate kids.
Oh, well, right. I love my kids, but nice. I do like the fact that I won't be 65.
Well, yeah, you both have the countdown clock going.
Well, not really. No, it's gone way too fast. But on the other hand, I don't want to be elderly when my last child moves out either, you know?
Yeah, and it'll be 2032 when my daughter is graduated, and, you know, should one slip past the goalie, I guess, and maybe have another kid, that time would be prolonged, but...
I'd highly recommend it.
I don't know what you're waiting for.
That is something that you've always said, that it's been fun. Like, it started out stressful, and now you're just, like, by the time you got to Ezra, you're just, like, having fun with it.
Oh, yeah, and camping with the kids at the age they are now, my wife isn't there yet. I'm there, where I really couldn't care less where they are at any point.
Right.
Because they're old enough.
Yep.
And you're not like, whoa, hey, wait, the fire, it's hot, fire's hot. You know, you don't have to say that anymore, and it's so refreshing, and the kids know, you know, don't go with anybody. If you're riding your bike, stay close. And oh, it's so fun to go camping now. Whereas before, it was like, holy crap, this is a lot of work. When is nap time? Yep. You know, do we have like a fence we can put up and keep all the kids in?
It sucks. And that's kind of where we're at now. And it's my fault. We only have one child. So like, if we're going to go camping as a family, you know, it's on us to keep her entertained. Mm-hmm. And then it's just like, oh my God, child, why do you have so much energy? Probably because I'm...
Get her a little bike and around and around and around. I mean, I don't know how many miles Ezra put on, but he was in heaven and he went fished. It was great. It was really a lot of fun to be where we're at with our kids now. And it's going to come fast, or Ace is going to be too cool. You know, we have to stay back. I got a job now, you know, and I got my own car. Yeah. And we're not too many years away, and he'll be too cool to come vacation with us. So we're in that sweet spot right now of having a lot of fun. And yeah. And then, so back to the athleticism portion. Ace is the youngest kid in his class. There are like two boys that are older than
him. So you could hold him back.
I am considering having him do seventh grade again. Like red shirt his junior high.
Start stealing his homework out of his backpack before he goes to school.
Because if he can do seventh grade twice or eighth grade twice, that's another 12 months of growth. And I've got him like eating protein shakes in the morning now. Just kidding. I do not have him eating
protein shakes. Sure as hell hope not. Good Lord.
Man, just think you'd get another year growth on that boy and say, all right, now start your eighth grade year. I'm getting way too wrapped up in this. I really am. So
you guys might have to beat me up way quicker than I think. I'm kind of thinking so too. Like we're
pretty soon he's not going to have time for us anymore.
Well, it was
says Mr. I don't have time for you guys because of baseball.
True. Well, it's not.
And softball.
Well, yeah.
You know, guys, we're going to. Well, yeah. We can record, but we got to be done by, you know, 7 o'clock because I got to go watch a game. It's important. He like starts tonight. And you've got a really good ERA.
Third grade, everybody starts, but yeah.
But your season's over.
We're done. Yeah,
summer's finished back
up before the 4th.
So yep.
I'm gonna miss it.
Is that the last? As far as like any sort of summer rec that happens before the school starts.
There's daytime summer rec, but not in the evenings any longer.
And so. I guess he's probably too young to do anything football wise, right?
Flag football,
sure.
But
yeah, I talked to at our neighborhood block party. My neighbor is
that you were invited to.
Yeah, that he snuffed. That
my kids were well rested this morning. It was a good call.
The hell do you care? You work. I should have asked Greta.
My wife.
I should have asked Greta, because I guarantee you, Greta would be like, "Okay, great, let's go." You know I'm right. You know I'm right. Anyway, I was talking with Tyler Lloyd, the Sheldon football coach, and I said something similar, like, "Oh, well, you know, the summer rec's over, so now you got 2 months of vacation left." And he's like, "No,
football
starts. Like beginning of August, so." Because he kind of made a comment like, 4th of July, end of summer. And I'm like, okay, yeah, whatever, old farmer man. Like, that's not, like, to me, like, summer ends in, like, sometime in September because I'm not, I'm not encumbered by the school year. But, yeah, he said, yeah, pretty much beginning of August, we're into football camp, and then it's full steam ahead.
Why didn't have any interest in football?
That's his career choice as of right now.
Oh, no. Drinks it.
So.
Asa has no desire in football, and I'm really fine with that. If he wants to pick it up as a freshman, fine.
It's but because he's not surrounded by people that play it.
That's true. He's surrounded by
soccer players.
Well,
yeah.
It would be good for him to go out, see if he likes it when he's a freshman.
When he's a freshman, go ahead. But I don't want to chase him all over and do all that baloney now.
Sanborn Christian does not do it then, right?
Oh, so I like how would be,
I
like how that's baloney, but basketball. Oh, no, that's that. Hey, clear the schedule. Mm-hmm. Clear the schedule. Mm-hmm. We need to get this done.
Well, he's an old school Western guy.
True.
That's right.
Hey, soccer season.
Homecoming is to be during basketball
season. Yep. And it was in the winter. It made sense. Everybody was down and gloomy because the sun hadn't shone for 37 days. We needed something uplifting, and there you were. It was homecoming week. Pajama day. Whoa.
Well, the rest of us made fun of you. I'm just telling you.
And we still make fun of Aaron. And that's
why. I can take it.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Your broad shoulders are one of the reasons why we appreciate you. And Mitch.
Today's episode of the DBA Pod is brought to you by Super High Tech on the web at super-ht.com.
You can tell how close it was to the episode time that I wrote that. And you can find more about the pod and who the hell we think we are by hitting us up on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Twitter.
Do you normally listen this late, or do you get like 5 minutes to the end and say, that's fine. Record, just publish.
There are times where, like, I hit publish and I'm like driving home and I'm like,
"Oh wait a minute! I remember I said something offensive after my second beer."
Let me think about that. You can find us on Facebook, on Instagram, and Twitter, all at DBA Pod, and coming soon to a website at dbapod.com. Thank you for listening, and until next time, we'll see you.